All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 110. Psalm 110. You saw Mike Montoro on our prayer list. Brother Mike grew up here. I think he was the youngest of all the Montoro boys, wasn't he? Don, is that what y'all remember? And a couple of those boys are in the ministry. Of course, we support Pete up in Queens, New York, and we've supported him forever. And then they have another brother who is a church planter up in New York, I think, somewhere up there. And he's a wonderful guy as well. And then Mike is the director of football communications at West Virginia University. And of course, listens to every service, probably listening right now. And he's a wonderful fella, I tell you, pleasant, just as nice a guy as you'd want to meet. And every now and then he'll text me and he'll say, hey, want to go to a ball game? You know, football game, basketball game. And sure, what you got in mind? And he'll tell me, you know, I got four tickets to this home game. Or I think it was last year he sent us down to Virginia Tech to watch West Virginia play Virginia Tech. That was the longest day of my life, I think. It was a Friday night game, I think, or Thursday night game. And, oh, my goodness. We drove down, went to the game, then drove back. Crazy. I'm too old to do that. All right, Psalm 110. Are you there? All right, let's just look at the first verse, please. Verse 1 says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." All right, now do you see all of the all the pronouns and everything else in that verse? You know, it's full. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. All right, now hang on to that and go over to the New Testament for just a moment, to the book of Matthew and chapter 22. So Matthew's gospel and chapter 22. And we will look at verse 41. Verse 41. And in verse 41, we read this. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ?" All right, now what? He's not asking them, "What do you think of me?" Because they didn't believe that he was Christ. All right, so Christ is the Messiah. All right, when you see Christ in the Bible, it is saying Messiah, the Anointed One, and that is our Messiah. Well, Jesus asked these Pharisees, "What do you think of Christ?" In other words, what's your opinion about Christ, the Messiah when he comes? And then he says, look at this. He clarifies exactly what he wants. He says, "Whose son is he? Whose son is he?" Reading on, "They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, all right, look here, back in Psalm 110, you with me? All right, so that's what they're asking. If the Pharisees didn't know anything, they knew the Old Testament scriptures. And so they didn't know them properly, but they did know them. And so what do you think of Messiah? Whose son is he? And they said, well, he's the son of David. And so he saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, and now he's going to quote Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David, watch carefully, if David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And verse 46 kind of sums up their minds. No man was able to answer him a word. Well, I wonder why. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Because all he did was twist it around on you to where you had to see the truth. He put the truth right in front of you. You had to see it. And of course they saw it. But they won't believe it. And they won't admit that they saw it. But if you, they said, don't ask him any more questions. Don't anybody ask him any more questions. Why? Because you're going to get the truth if you do. And the truth was something that none of them could handle. They just could not deal with the truth. All right, let's pray. And then I want to speak to you tonight on the deity of Christ. Our Constitution says that we believe in the deity of Christ. Now, what is that? Well, we'll see in just a moment. So let's pray, and then we'll dive into this. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much now for your word. And I pray that you will bless your word to each and every one of our hearts tonight. Father, we are thankful for our time of prayer. And we're thankful that we were able to cover a lot of ground in our petitions to you this evening. And now, Father, we turn to the Word of God, and I just pray that you will bless your Word and touch our hearts with your truth. And we do ask that you will guide our thinking and guide our understanding and help us to see what we need to see tonight from the Word of God. So guide and direct now, in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, the next statement in our church statement of faith is that we believe in the deity of Christ. Now, folks, this is one of those fundamental doctrines of the Bible which make the Bible work. If you take out the deity of Christ, you say, well, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, when I say deity, that comes Deus, which means God, all right? So it is saying Jesus is God, that he is God, period. Jesus is God. I have told you folks before, and every time I state this, I just end up blowing people away. But I'm not trying to cause you to have steam coming out your ears, trying to figure things out here. But when you get to heaven, we learned last week that our God is three yet one. Father, Son, and Spirit, and these three are one. Now, when we get to heaven, we're not going to see three gods. We're not going to see three gods. You say, well, isn't there a God the Father? Yes. Isn't there a God the Son? Yes. Isn't there a God the Holy Spirit? Yes. But where we stop is right there. What you need to understand is these three are one. So when you get to heaven, who are you going to see? You're going to see the Lord Jesus, because he's the one that was given a human body. So he's the one that we're going to see. And I know some of you are sitting there now and wheels are just, they just sped up to something terrible. I know. Think about it, though, and you'll figure it out. It'll start to make sense to you. But that's what we mean by deity, the fact that Jesus is God. Now, if you look at the verse in Psalm 110 and verse 1, that is a prophetic statement that was spoken by David, the psalmist, about God the Father speaking to his Son. And notice that God the Father is calling God the Son Lord. Notice that, all right? God the Father is calling God the Son Lord. Now, let me show you how this thing unfolded and how the Lord Jesus used this prophecy of David to show the Pharisees who he is by nature, his person. All right? Let's look back in Matthew 22. All right? Look there. Keep your Bible open to that verse for just a moment. Now, you can be assured that the Pharisees knew Psalm 110 like the back of their own hands. They knew every single word that was in that psalm. Jesus, the Lord Jesus, asked these Pharisees what they thought of Christ, the Messiah. Now, again, he's not asking these guys, what do you think of me? Because they didn't believe that he was Messiah. They chafed at that. And that's what they were so angry with him about, because you remember they said, as they were giving charges to the Sanhedrin, the people were saying, and the Pharisees were saying, that he says he's God. He says he's the Messiah. And they simply would not accept that he was the Messiah. So notice that the Lord Jesus asked them, what do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? Now, folks, what he was asking them is, what do you think when the Messiah comes? Whose son is he going to be? Now, they didn't believe it. He was the Son. Or the Messiah. So they said, when he comes, he's saying in effect, when he comes, whose son is he? And they answered him and said, why everyone knows that the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, is the son of David. Everybody knows that. And then Jesus turned right around and asked them, okay, So why then did David call Messiah in spirit Lord? Why did David call Messiah Lord? All right, why did he do that? And then he quoted Psalm 110, verse 1, and he then said, if David calls him Lord, then how is Christ the Messiah? How is Messiah David's son? All right, so they're standing there, you know, and they had no answer. They had no answer. Now, this prophecy in Psalm 110 is spoken of in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Synoptic means similar, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the three synoptic gospels. They are all similar to each other. John stands alone, but the three are called the synoptics because they are basically telling the same accounts of Christ, but they are telling them through a different set of eyes. All right, Matthew is seeing Christ as the king, and then Mark as the servant, and then Luke as the Son of Man. And so they're all three, though, telling the same stories, but they're making application to those three areas, those three parts of the Lord Jesus Christ's life and ministry. Now, if it's in all three of the synoptics, don't you think it must be a crucial thing that the Bible is trying to get us to see? Well, I certainly do. I certainly do. And so also notice that this prophecy was also mentioned by the Apostle Peter in the sermon that he preached on the day of Pentecost. Now, let me show you that. Turn over to the book of Acts and chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, where the sermon is that the Apostle Peter preached. All right, and if you will look down, please, to verse 32. All right, he's talking about how the Lord Jesus died on the cross, and then in verse 32 he says, "This Jesus hath God raised up." All right, let's go back to verse 31. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Messiah. Now, if Messiah was to resurrect from the dead, that would presume that he would have to be what? Dead. Yes. Yes. Do you see that? Are y'all awake? Everybody with me? All right, so it would presume, would it not, that Messiah would have to be dead. That's why Jesus came, folks. The Messiah is promised twice in the Old Testament. The first time as our lamb to go to shed his blood to make atonement for our sin. The second time he is coming again is at his return, at the second coming, when he comes back to the earth, literally to the earth, with all his saints. And why is he coming back? He is coming back to defeat all the armies of the Antichrist, and then to sit down upon the throne of who? David, to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And so that is when his enemies are going to be a footstool for him. He will defeat them. They will be destroyed by him. All right, so he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Messiah, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. All right, so you got Messiah, Christ, in verse 31. Then look at verse 32. This who? Jesus. What's he saying? He's saying Messiah is Jesus, the one that they sent to the cross, the one that they pronounced the judgment of death upon. And so he says, this Jesus hath God raised up. Wherefore, we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David, now here we are, listen. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So what are these verses showing us? They are showing us that Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, is both Lord and God. He is deity, folks. He is deity. Now, this prophecy is in Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's in Acts. It's in Psalm 110. It must be important. And what is it saying? It is simply telling us that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, our Jesus, is God in the flesh. That's what it's saying. We believe in the deity of Christ. Why do we believe it? Because the Bible tells us that the Messiah, Jesus, is God. He is deity. Now, you might remember our last couple of Wednesday night lessons. We studied what the Bible teaches us about the Godhead. God is our Heavenly Father. God is Jesus, the Son, the Lord Jesus, and God is the Holy Spirit. So he's Father, Son, and Spirit, and these three are one God. One. You cannot say that the Lord Jesus is not as much God as God the Father is God. That'd be inaccurate. The Lord Jesus is God. What are you talking about? You can't say the Holy Spirit or God the Father is more God than God the Holy Spirit. You can't say that. Because all of the attributes that the Bible prescribes to God the Father, those attributes are also describing Jesus, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit They're all one. They're all one. All right, now let's notice a couple of things about this matter of the deity of Christ. First of all, let's consider, we've already done a couple of weeks ago, but I want to go over just briefly here. Let's consider, number one, how the virgin birth proves that Jesus is God. He is deity. Let's go back to Isaiah 7 in our Bibles. All right, Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah 7. All right, everybody there? All right, Isaiah 7. Let's look at verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a what? Virgin shall conceive and bear a what? Son. And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Now here in Isaiah 7 is another prophecy given this time by the Holy Spirit to Isaiah. Isaiah, the golden-tongued prophet. And we have another prophetic promise given about Messiah. Isaiah said, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So after 740 years, all right, now think about that. 740 years, finally, a virgin was amazingly with child. Miraculously with child. Folks, the Bible in the Gospels goes to great concerns to make sure that we understand that Mary was that virgin. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. This will be a sign unto you. Because we all know that virgin women don't have babies, right? And yet, hey, listen, when you live in a little place like Nazareth, just a little town on the side of a hill, when you live in a little place like Nazareth, everybody knows everybody. And if all of a sudden somebody is pregnant, then questions are going to be asked. Don't you think that there was much concern and much talk? And don't you think that maybe some concerned people might have come to Mary or to Joseph and have said to them, what's going on here? Oh, well, hey, I haven't touched her. Yeah, right. Huh? Would you believe that? And then some of Mary's family comes to Mary and say, you're pregnant. Yeah. Well, how'd that happen? Well, there was an angel. And the angel appeared to me and told me that I was going to have a baby. You believe me, right? Sure, I believe you. Folks, let me tell you something. Mary had to do some convincing, I think. I think she had family. She had to convince them. But you know what I believe? I believe that woman was so spiritually minded and so close to God. That's why she was selected, chosen, but that's also how, if anybody could get away with a virgin birth, she could. That's what I don't know that for a fact, but that's just what I believe, just using common sense. I'm telling you, folks, if one of my girls had come home and said, "Dad, you're not going to believe this." Yeah, you're right. Go get the gun, you know, in Christian love. But go get the gun. All right, you see what I'm saying? I mean, virgins don't have babies. We weren't born last night. So here's a sign. If all of a sudden there is a virgin who is great with child, and this virgin conceives and bears a son, well, you're going to call his name Emmanuel. Well, what happened? 740 years later, we all know how the story unfolded, don't we? Look over at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. Let me show you what happened here, how this went down. All right, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." All right, so you got Jesus, that's his human name, and you've got Christ, that's his deity name. He is Jesus Christ, God yet man. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together." There it is. She was a virgin. But we read, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily," privately. "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she," listen carefully now, "and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, Jesus is a Greek. That's a Greek name, all right? Jesus was a Greek name. It was Greek for Joshua. Joshua. So thou shalt call his name Jesus, Joshua. Joshua means the Lord is salvation. All right? The Lord is salvation. And he said verse 21? "For he shall save his people from their sins." Now watch. "All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? God with us. Do you see that? Deity. God with us. Amen. Folks, Jesus is God. And when he was born, the angel of the Lord told Joseph that his name was to be called Emmanuel in accordance to the prophecy of Isaiah 740 years ago. And you'll call his name Emmanuel. Well, they all knew what the significance of Emmanuel was. They all spoke Hebrew. What does it mean? God with us. God with us. Folks, listen. Our Lord is God in the flesh. And notice, it was the angel of the Lord who came to Joseph to explain to him what was going on with Mary. And his explanation was to quote to Joseph exactly what was given in Isaiah 7:14. And folks, here's the point. In verse 23 of Matthew chapter 1, we are told that his name, that this name, Isaiah said the Messiah would be called, is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And this gloriously was fulfilled when Jesus, God the Son, God in the flesh, was born in Bethlehem's manger. That's awesome, isn't it? You use the Bible to explain the Bible. You don't make theology on dreams and visions that after eating pizza before you go to bed. No, you take the Bible and you let the Bible explain the Bible to you. We believe in the deity of Christ. Why? Because the Bible goes to tremendous lengths to show us that Jesus, the Messiah, is God in the flesh. Go over to the Gospel of John for just a second. You all know these verses. Chapter 1, the Gospel of John, and chapter 1. And here, John says in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Notice that's capitalized. John is personifying the Lord Jesus Christ as the Word. And he says here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was who? God. There it is. Great lengths to prove to us who Jesus actually is. And he is God with us. He is God the Son. God in the flesh was born in Bethlehem's manger. I don't know about you, but that just thrills my soul. What a Savior we have. Secondly, time flies, doesn't it? All right, go back to Isaiah 9 this time. Isaiah chapter 9. Oh, I love Isaiah, don't you? What a book. Chapter 9. All right, look at verse 6, please. Here's another prophetic statement about Jesus, about Messiah, about the Son of God. All right, so look at verse 6. For unto us a what? Child is born. Now, folks, listen. That is the incarnation of Jesus Christ. You say, what's incarnation? The fact that God became flesh. He became human. He was in heaven, and he assumed a human body and was born God in the flesh. All right, so that first part right there, for unto us a child is born. That is the virgin birth. That is the incarnation. Then notice, unto us a son is given. What's that? That's the cross. That's the cross. You remember John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he what? Gave. Who'd he give? His only begotten son. For unto us a child is born. That's the incarnation. That's his birth. Unto us a son is given. God gave the Lord Jesus Christ for each and every one of us and the whole world. All right? Then, notice, you have, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now, that's what the disciples were looking for in Acts chapter 1. After he resurrected. And they said, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath placed in his own power. But ye shall receive the Holy Spirit and be a witness. We are now in between where it says, unto us a son is given. We are in between, all right? We have not gotten yet to, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. We haven't gotten there yet. It's coming, but we haven't gotten there yet. You say, well, when is it coming? When the Lord Jesus comes the second time. And when he does, what's going to happen? Well, he's going to sit down upon the throne of David, and he is going to rule and reign all over the earth. And the government shall be the government of the world, not just of Israel. He's going to sit on Israel's throne, but he's going to rule the world from Israel's throne. All right? Wow, that's going to be a time, isn't it? And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now watch this. How long is he going to have the government on his shoulders? How long? 1,000 years on this earth. Yeah, 1,000 years. Now, look at this. It says, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Huh? Anybody outside of the church? I mean, out in the world, have you ever heard the Lord Jesus called wonderful by the world? No, they use his name as a curse word, don't they? They swear by using his name. But during the millennium, when there's finally, peace. And why will there be peace? Because the devil is cast into the lake, into the bottomless pit. And the Antichrist and the false prophet, the ones that are stirring everything up, they're all out of the way. And the Prince of Peace is sitting on the throne. And man, the world is going to look around and say, I don't know what he's doing, but I like it. You know that Jesus? He's wonderful. Yeah. He's wonderful. I can't wait for that day. Because I'm going to stand there and say, see, I told you. I told you he was wonderful. You wouldn't listen. Hard-headed things. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What a day. What a day. Now, we'll pick it up here next week, and I will show you what all these names, names are going to do. Why are they calling him these names? And we'll see from that he's God. He's God. What's it say right there? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty who? The Everlasting who? So that's Christ, folks. We are going to call him the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I'm telling you, Jesus is God. God in the flesh. Everybody got all that? All right, take out a half sheet of paper. No, I'm kidding. No, I wouldn't do that to you. All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. Just comparing scripture with scripture, we can see that our Savior, our Messiah, is the Son of God. He is deity. He is God in the flesh. And Father, we here at the Church of the Open Door certainly believe what the Bible teaches us, that Jesus is God. So bless this to our hearts. Give us understanding of what we have heard. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.